After marking your psalm books, if you will, turn with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. This morning at the end of our lesson, you'll remember that we talked about the fact that we will recognize the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ and the existence of God. It will become evident in judgment. And there in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, that final passage that we quoted, there is a phrase that is used there that I would like to examine a bit further this evening in the short period of time we have. That is the judgment seat, having reference there to the judgment seat of Christ. I want to introduce our discussion of that particular phrase by going to John chapter 19 with regard to the judgment that Pilate pronounced upon Jesus. You'll remember that he had been taken by the Jews, but he had been transferred to Pilate because it was not lawful for the Jews, as they were under the authority of Rome, to put to death any criminal, any accused individual. And so they desired Pilate to crucify him. And so they delivered him to Pilate. Pilate scourged him and questioned him while in the praetorium. That was his inner sanctum. That was where he was as he was in Jerusalem. But we are told that after he had found nothing wrong in what Jesus had done, that he took Jesus out to meet the Jews. And the reference to that is found in verses 13 through 16 of the 19th chapter. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was the preparation day of Passover in about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? And the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. And they delivered him, he delivered him to them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And there are a couple of things that we note about the phrase judgment seat. First of all, the place adjacent to the praetorium that is mentioned here is the place called the pavement. And of course, in the Greek, this has reference to the common practice at that time of judgments to be pronounced in a large setting. A large group of Jews had gathered. They were the ones that cried out, crucify him, crucify him. You may remember in Acts the 2nd chapter, that was the accusation that Peter leveled against them. This same Jesus that God has made Lord in Christ, you delivered up to death. And so there was a large group gathered there. It was a large open space. But it is interesting that the Hebrew term, Gabbatha, is a term that means a place that is elevated. And in fact, when we see statements made concerning a judgment seat, we're talking about a rostrum or a throne upon which an individual sits down. An individual in authority sits down and pronounces a sentence, pronounces a judgment upon any particular individual. And of course, to appease the Jews on this occasion, as Pilate sat down on that elevated rostrum or elevated throne to pronounce judgment, he pronounced the judgment upon Christ that he might be crucified. He delivered them to the Jews, or delivered him to the Jews. I want you to look at one other passage in Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. This was a different occasion, this time where the Apostle Paul was being accused again by the Jews. And it was very much a similar circumstance. The Jews were desirous of Paul's harm, and so they delivered him again to the Romans. And Gallio was the proconsul of Achaia there in Corinth on this particular occasion. And the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. So Gallio, again, was sitting in that seat. He was the one who had authority. And he was sitting in the judgment seat, and these Jews brought Paul to him and said, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. Well, Paul was about to open his mouth to defend himself, but Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it's a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters. And so he drove them from the judgment seat. So he drove them from the judgment seat. Now they were not utilizing the judgment seat appropriately, and Gallio wanted nothing to do with it. Where Pilate was a politician, Gallio didn't care what the Jews thought. He didn't want to get involved in those Jewish considerations at all, because this was a Roman seat of judgment. But in both these places, you see an individual who has authority, who has the ability to pronounce judgment, has the authority that when that judgment is pronounced, that judgment will be indeed meted out because of the authority that they hold. And so there we see some significance, I suppose, in the statement, the judgment seat of Christ. Now, since we have been going through the Psalms, before we go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I would like to read to you from the ninth Psalm. You may want to be turning in your Old Testaments there. The ninth Psalm, which is a psalm which indicates the judgment of God. When I saw this evening that Jonathan had prepared material on the Psalms, I knew I could find one without too much trouble. Talk about God's judgment in those poems. It is, I think, a prolific theme of many of those psalms. I want to read beginning in verse 1, go down through verse 8 of the ninth psalm. The psalmist said, "I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." There's some significance in that. O Most High. This is an indication of God's position. He said, in verse 3, "When my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne, judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities, even their memory has perished. But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness." So we are very much grateful for the fact that God is indeed our judge because of his uprightness, because of his righteousness. And when we do stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things that we have done, whether good or bad, we can do so in the knowledge and in the trust that we will be dealt with righteously. So I leave you with that final passage that we alluded to earlier from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 9 through 11. And remind you again of what we said this morning. Because of who it is that will sit on the judgment seat, it should be our purpose and aim to please him. That is certainly the purpose and aim of Paul. Paul said, "We make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are well-known to God, and I trust also are well-known in your consciences." And so we note, again, that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In that day, the one who has authority will sit in that elevated position, and he will mete out either punishment or reward, either that which we deserve or the gift of grace that he extends to those who are penitent and those who seek to serve him. But Christ will judge each and every one of us. As we acknowledge that we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it remains that we must prepare ourselves. We must make it our aim, whether present or absent, to please him. And I hope and pray that you will take advantage of the opportunity that you are afforded this evening to ensure that you are, in fact, pleasing to the Lord. If there is anything that we can do to assist you in that, we offer ourselves to you. The invitation is extended at this time. If you need to respond, then we ask that you come forward while together we stand and while we sing.